This is Patrick. How can I help you?
Hey Patrick, this is Josiah from Huffington Post. How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks for taking the time. Before we start, I just wanted to let you know that this is being recorded. However, this recording will not be released to the public in any way. We're just going to use it as a reference. So I just wanted to.
I understand. I've done a few of these now. So.
Okay. Well, I apologize then if some of these questions are a bit repetitive, but my first.
Oh, no. I expect I'll be going through the story, more than once. So.
Okay. All right. Well, then my first question to you is how has this group of people on the internet, on ONA forums, affected your life outside of the internet? Let's start there.
Well, I mean, immensely. They've, they've come to my house. They've videotaped themselves trespassing on my property in order to intimidate us. They've vandalized both our home and my motorcycle in just, the last couple of weeks here. They've left graffiti around my neighborhood in places that they know I walk in between, knowing that I'll see it. They harass local businesses that they know I frequent, trying to harass and annoy and intimidate the owners and employees into, making it just too difficult to do business with me and ban me from the premises. They've impersonated female members of my gym and through anonymous emails accused me of taking spy shots of women while they were working out, hoping to get me banned from my gym. They have gone to, cause I've done some work for the Science Channel as a contributor.
Right.
They've gone to Discovery Channel and, left anonymous false reports that I had sexually harassed female cast members or crew members while I was visiting the studios, which of course never occurred because all the stuff was done remotely and I've never visited the Discovery Studios in LA. I had to have a long conversation with one of Discovery's lawyers about, because she needed to clear the accusations off of her, her to-do sheet. And so I had to have a conversation much like the one I'm about to have with you, with her, explaining the situation, explaining that no females have associated
right.
with Discovery have ever had any complaints about me because I've never actually met one. just trying to get me kicked out, or, trying to get me kicked off of that recurring television gig that I've had for a couple of years now. They have sent death threats to my publishers, demand and fake reports about, my misbehavior at, non-existent misbehavior at conventions, trying to get my publishers to drop me and, cancel my contracts, cancel my book contracts or refuse to renew, new book contracts. Mm-hmm. They text me harassment every single day. They email me harassment almost every single day. They have sent, they send fake food orders, defrauding local restaurants to my house almost every single day. They have twice sent the police to our house on using fake police reports. Including one episode which I would definitely categorize as swatting, because at 11 o'clock, 11:30 at night on a Thursday during lockdown, I answered the door in my bathrobe to two uniformed police officers of Milwaukee County or of Milwaukee City with their hands on their guns, demanding that I tell them where the children are. And this is not a full account.
Right.
They text and leave voicemails every day. I've gotten two voicemails today from an unknown email server, like a text to email sort of server thing, demanding that I go brush my piss yellow teeth. My family keeps getting inundated with texts. My wife's siblings keep getting texts saying, we have photographic evidence of Patrick cheating on Nikki, and she should divorce him immediately. Or the opposite, like texting my mother-in-law saying that, your daughter's a whore and she loves getting bukkakied by a circle of N-words, just all the time, nonstop for 3 years. It has never let up. It has never relented.
Okay.
That's not the online stuff, you asked specifically about offline.
Right.
And the online stuff is just as bad in some ways. And in some cases, even more damaging.
Right. I definitely want to get into everything you just mentioned. One of the things you said is they don't just go after you. They go after businesses that you frequent. They go after your friends and family. They go after female acquaintances of yours.
They go after my colleagues in the science fiction and fantasy, publishing industry. They've gone after reviewers who have left positive reviews of my books. They've go after my Twitter followers who say supportive things or make it sound like they're in my corner with all of this. They dox people. They've doxed dozens upon dozens of people, and then proceeded to text and try to intimidate them. They have found a good friend of mine who's pretty big in our kind of incestuous little sci-fi and fantasy community, but he's a photographer and he's a reviewer and he's very well liked, and he's completely harmless, and he struggles with depression and suicidal ideation. So of course they text him demanding that he kill himself.
That he kill himself.
Yeah.
Has this I'm sorry, go ahead.
And that's on top of all the death threats that they send to me, all the rape threats that they send to my wife, all the times that they've demanded that I kill myself. This is just constant.
Has this strained your relationship with any of these people? Or is there anybody who's told you, Patrick, I think you're a great person. I love to work with you. I love to, do this, that, and the third with you, but I'm sorry, I can't handle this.
Yes, of course. And, I wish them well. I don't want this for anyone. I've been blocked on Twitter and other platforms by people who, see it coming and just don't want anything to do with it. I can't confirm, but I'm pretty certain I've been blocked by people who have fallen for it when some of these people have impersonated me in one way or another. The important people in my industry we haven't seen each other at a convention in 18 months now, and so since a lot of this has been happening over the last year and a half, I haven't had the opportunity to actually see them in person for them to come up to me and go, "What the fuck are you emailing me?" And I can say, "Nope, that's not what's going on here," and that's usually where we all reconnect and air our grievances and go through all these kinds of things. But we haven't had that personal connection for more than a year and a half now. And so the first opportunity I'll have to see if I'm right about any of these folks that I suspect that I am, having, through no fault of their own, fallen for exactly what these people wanted them to fall for, and is not until December at the next Worldcon. Mm-hmm. So
some of these people actually fall for the impersonation and that sort of thing, and then other people, they know it's fake, they know it's trolling, but at the same time, they still don't want to associate you with you because it's just not worth it. Would you say that's an accurate characterization?
Not online, at the very least. Not in a place where these cyber stalkers are, actively trying to harvest their next victims.
Right.
If we were we'd see each other at a convention or at a book signing or something, then there'd be no issue. If we're just sitting around or having a, you know, at a bar con having a few beers, then there's no issue. But, you know, and it's made it difficult for me because, like, I want to be able to show my support to, you know, up and coming authors. I want to be able to show my support to reviewers and readers, and I want to show my support for, and that's what you do. You help to promote each other. You help to lift each other up. And now every time I do, I'm sitting there, there's that little gremlin in the back of my head going, am I going to be inviting down, you know, the wrath of these fucking sociopaths on this completely innocent, unsuspecting person?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you said that you were swatted by these people. You said, can you give a little bit more background on when this happened and what they told the police to show up at their house?
It was last June. Milwaukee was still during lockdown.
In 2020, correct?
What's that? In 2020,
this is
So yeah, June 2020. So yeah, no, I'm sorry, not 2 months ago, but June 2020. Yeah. Right. Anyway. So I would have to look up the exact date because I don't remember it off the top of my head, but yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday night. And what had happened was that one of these people went onto Milwaukee's local Craigslist page and created a fake ad using my real name, using my real home address, using my real telephone number, and my real email address, because these are things they've doxed amongst themselves for 3 years now and use in all sorts of abusive ways. But they created a fake Craigslist ad pretending to be me, offering up free sausage and pepperoni that I had made in my basement out of the bodies of black children that I had kidnapped from the neighborhood. And then...
I'm sorry.
No, you heard me correctly.
Where did they?
I know.
That's where did they get that from? Is that like?
Well, they think grinding black children up into sausage is hilarious. It's a recurring joke with them.
Do you know why it's a recurring joke with them? Like, is there?
Because they are terrorists and sociopaths who need to be put to death. That's why. These are the worst people on the face of the planet. They are utterly remorseless. They are utterly amoral. They are racists. They are white supremacists. They are transphobic. They are homophobic. They are anti-Semitic. They are fascist Nazis, every last one of them. They are insane. They're delusional. They're obsessed. They have no redeeming human qualities of any sort.
So
they have no mercy. They have no remorse. They think cruelty is the funniest thing in the world. They have no sense of humor. They only have a sense of inflicting pain on strangers. That's it. That's their entire reason for existence. They do nothing else. They think about nothing else. They talk about nothing else. This is their whole lives revolves around this.
So
I wish I was exaggerating anything I just said.
Right. So let me just get this correct. Somebody, I imagine, just said, hey, let me come up with the absolute worst act that I can possibly think of, you know, kidnapping African-American children and then doing what you just said, grinding them into sausage. And that's pretty much just how it originated. There's no, like... there's no reference or anything. They just thought, let me think of the worst possible thing I can think of and then go on Craigslist and accuse this person of doing that. Is that inaccurate?
Correct.
Okay. Yes. And okay, so then what happened? Somebody posted that on Craigslist and then...
Someone posted on Craigslist and then one of them, perhaps I've never been able to figure out who, but one of them, maybe the same person who posted the fake ad, or maybe one of the other members of this cyber terrorism group working in concert with the person who placed the ad, then anonymously sent a tip in to the Milwaukee police saying, hey, my God, you've got a serial killer over on Oakland Avenue.
I'm sorry. So you know that the person who sent the tip in was an anonymous person from this group. It
Yes.
wasn't just a concerned citizen who went on Craigslist and saw this ad.
The ad was not up for long enough for it to have been anybody but them. Only they would have known about it.
Oh wow. Okay. That's
Because of the fact they used my email address in the creation of the account that led to that they used in order to make the ad. And so I got an alert
right.
like the second the ad was about to go up. And once I got that alert, I contacted Craigslist, and the ad was up for maybe 5 minutes. I mean, Craigslist did like in Craigslist defense here, they did everything right. Like
Right.
their moderation team was on top of it immediately, and it was not up long enough for anybody to do anything about it. They
Okay.
knew about it. Only they knew about it.
Okay, so realistically speaking, nobody really saw this. This was sort of like a manufactured, swatting sort of
Yes,
thing where.
this was a way for them to get around the specific anti-swatting laws, which say that you have, like, in order to get in a few jurisdictions that actually have anti-swatting laws, almost all of them are very specific in saying that, like, you have, in order to be guilty of swatting, you have to call and pretend, like, be impersonating someone who is in a hostage situation.
Right, you
You know,
can't
you, like, you,
that makes sense what you're saying. You can't just post something that somebody else would call the police and
Right.
require a SWAT
And
team.
so this is
Okay.
a tact. So they know goddamned well that what they were doing was swatting. They knew goddamned well that what they were attempting to do
Technically, yeah.
was to get the police to assassinate me on my own porch. That's what they were trying to do. And they protected themselves against the few laws that are on the books by using this little workaround.
Right. Okay, can you so somebody from there calls the police. Can you tell us what happens next?
Well, as I said, about 11:30 at night or so, two Milwaukee police department officers showed up on my porch. My wife and I had been binge watching something and going through some bourbon because it was locked down and there wasn't a hell of a lot else to do on a Thursday
Right.
night. And so, I answered the door with a little bit of a buzz going, not expecting the police, not really knowing what to expect at all, to find two hothead idiot officers with their hands on their guns shouting in my face, demanding to know where the children are, where are the
Holy.
bodies, what have you done? And I'm like, who the fuck are you? What the fuck are you talking about? Come back with a warrant. And the confrontation escalated to the point that my wife had to step in and go, okay, you testosterone soaked idiots aren't listening to each other. We are being stalked. This was a fake report. And then, like, she led them away and had a somewhat
Cogent.
de-escalated conversation with
Yeah.
them. Yes. Because I was about to fucking punch somebody in the throat. You don't just show up to my door and accuse me of killing children. Like, what the, I don't care if you've got a gun on you or not.
Well, how on earth? I mean, that's a sort of second by second interaction, life or death situation. How are you going to quickly explain to these people that you've been stalked for 3 years? And
Well, it had been
I
two at
mean,
that point, but there simply
right.
isn't any way to. I mean, these guys are already there, jacked up, thinking they were going to get a, you know, that they were going to get a huge bust.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then they left, and I immediately called dispatch, and I'm sure that call is recorded somewhere. I immediately called dispatch and was like, "What the fuck was that?" Like
Oh.
really demanding answers, and then their supervisor later that evening, actually within about a half hour. So I mean, he was very attentive, but he called me back and we talked for a good hour about the whole situation. And he opened a case number. He opened an investigation, but being just a local citywide police department, their resources and tech abilities are quite limited. They don't have an unlimited budget for these sorts of things.
Right.
And since none of these people, to the best of our knowledge, live in Milwaukee, they don't have jurisdiction over them anyway.
Oh, so even if they find out who did this, if they live outside of Milwaukee, you're saying there's nothing they can
Milwaukee.
really do?
The Milwaukee PD would have to transfer the evidence and case to the local police department where the people live, and then it would be up to that police department whether or not they wanted to pursue charges.
Did the police indicate to you, whether they were going to pursue that or,
I
if
mean, they attempted to, but there's only. It's you're dealing with an anonymous account that was created using falsified email address, falsified phone number, or stolen email address and phone number, I should say, who's hiding behind, and then the person who created that, you can subpoena Craigslist if you want, but they're hiding behind a VPN. So,
VPN Tor.
like how many, and they're using burner emails, like how, so you need. Like even if the local police are invested in doing something about it, like say I've been killed, and or grievously wounded, and now all of a sudden they have a public relations disaster on their hands, and they want to actually pursue it. You still need to turn it into a federal case in order to get the kind of resources that you need to prosecute across state lines.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, do you think maybe this one incident, if it's sort of like an isolated incident, they might, not really be willing to go forward with using too many police resources. What do you think that these people have to
Oh, but
do? I'm sorry?
it wasn't isolated. There were two other incidents where the police were sent to my house because of anonymous false reports filed by these people. Last November, there's a establishment. In fact, one of the local businesses that these people have been harassing for a year and a half. It's a pub and restaurant called Hooligans, maybe 4 blocks from my house. They had a fire. The fire was ruled an accident. It wasn't like arson or anything. But this group, because they so obsessively track everything about me and every facet of my life, they knew within half an hour that Hooligans had a fire. And so they sent anonymous tips into Milwaukee Police Department again,
Saying that you
saying,
caused the
hey,
fire.
that I caused the fire.
That's unbelievable.
That I was seen running away within moments after the fire started. And so again, at about 10 o'clock at night, police show up to my door with questioning me. It was much less confrontational this time because I, have it on record that these sorts of things are occurring. But and police have come out speak after death threats were filed. Like that's just the more of a wellness check sort of thing. But yeah, my publisher, Tor Books, had gotten an anonymous email from one of them a couple 18 months ago, 20 months ago, I'd have to look it up. Had gotten an anonymous email from them saying, "Hey, just so you know, I'm going to be murdering one of your authors, Patrick Tomlinson, at Summerfest
Holy.
today. I've already kidnapped his lesbian wife." And so, yeah, the police, my publisher reported that to the New York Police Department, and then the New York Police Department contacted the Milwaukee Police Department, and I had a officer out on my porch to make sure that,
You're
I
okay.
wasn't going to Summerfest, and that Nikki hadn't been kidnapped, and
Wow. What would you say is the status of these? I mean, I guess you said it's pretty hard for them to do anything. Are they, I guess they sort of filed a police report, opened a case in case, one of them was dumb enough to dox themselves or something.
Pretty much, yeah. That's about where it's
There's
at.
really nothing else they can
And I
do, is
continue.
there?
Not the local police, no. I continue to collect the evidence. I continue to save and screenshot every time they text me and every time they email me. I've saved all the voicemails. This is all available. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of them by now. Just
Yeah, I'd
thousands.
imagine. Okay. I just wanted to shift gears a little bit. I know that you filed a lawsuit, a civil suit against them in January of this year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And this started in 2018. So what made you finally decide to take legal action against these people?
Because nothing else was working. I mean, they weren't letting off. They weren't getting the hints. The police, both local and federal, seemed either unable or, in the case of the
Right.
FBI, uninterested. I mean, we were talking to an FBI agent about this last year, and she agreed that blatant criminal activity had occurred, that these people could be charged with conspiracy. They could be charged with cyber stalking and a number of other crimes, but that it didn't yet rise to the level of seriousness that, the Bureau would commit resources to. Not that she was unsympathetic, but she was just saying, look, I would not be able to get approval for this. Let me know when they've stolen more than $250,000 or somebody's been killed.
Wow.
I guess.
So wait until somebody gets killed before
Yes,
they.
wait until they kill me, then I can open a case against them. Yes.
Wow. All right. Well, how did your lawyers react when you explained this to them? Like, had they ever seen this sort of thing before, or was this like
Not
a
nearly
first?
to this, not nearly to this extent. In fact, I dare say no one has ever seen something like this. Not to this extent. Not that other people haven't faced, some months and sometimes years of cyber harassment. That certainly happens all the time, and it's a real and growing problem. But the simply clinical obsession that these people have with me
Right.
is not something that anybody else has really seen. I
Okay.
mean, there's certainly people out there who have had like a stalker,
Yeah.
like an ex or somebody or a
Yeah.
fan or something. And some of those cases have been extreme and they've gone on for years and sometimes decades. But this gang stalking, this, hey, we are just going to form a community of like-minded cyber stalkers who will randomly pick a person with the intention of trying to destroy their life and drive them to kill themselves,
Right.
which is their stated public goal. I mean, they've said publicly and proudly that the purpose of all of this is to destroy my career, ruin my marriage, and drive me to kill myself. That's what everything they have done to me and to my family and to my friends and my colleagues is driving towards. They want death. They want to be the cause of a random stranger's death.
Jeez.
That is their ultimate fantasy.
Wow.
And they're not alone. There's a website called, that you may be familiar with, or maybe hopefully not, but it's a website called Kiwi Farms, and
Yes.
there's an overlap between this group and the user base of Kiwi Farms. And Kiwi Farms is just a slightly larger, not so hyper focused. Like they focus on a lot of different people, not just me personally. But that's what Kiwi Farms is. It is a cyber stalking website. It is a community of
Yeah.
cyber terrorists and cyber harassers, and that is all they do. The website exists for no other purpose, and they keep a kill count of the people that they have driven to kill themselves, and they celebrate it.
Wow.
They just had another one a few weeks ago. It was
Yeah,
a
near,
really
I think.
famous, yes, Nier, the video game emulator.
The emulator guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, so that is the goal, the only goal they have.
Wow, that's pretty dark, to be honest with you. Did your lawyers tell you this would be like an uphill battle or sort of an open closed
Oh, yes.
case?
No, it's an open and closed case of whether or not crimes have been committed. I mean, it's simply true that these people are criminals.
But they had to find them
No, no
first,
one
right?
is, but finding them,
Right.
yes. Identifying them, yes. That is the uphill battle. And that's the battle that we're fighting right now, because a lot of the, a lot of the laws governing the internet were never, I mean, they're 20 years behind, and they had never envisioned something like this. You know, so the internet privacy laws make this very difficult. You know, the 270, which has been in the news off and on for the last couple of years, because Trump kept saying he was going to get rid of 270 so he could sue whoever he wanted, which actually wouldn't work out the way he thinks it would. but yeah, that usually frees platforms from any sort of liability for any content posted by their users. Which in this case, you know, like in the cases of Twitter, if somebody goes, or Facebook or whatever, you know, somebody goes on and posts a video of, say, the Christchurch shooting, you know, well, that was that individual's decision, and Facebook certainly, or Twitter certainly didn't condone it or know what was going to happen or leave it up once it's up.
Yeah.
But yet with onaforums.net, that website exists exclusively for no other reason than to continue to organize, plan, execute, and then brag about the outcomes of their ongoing terrorist campaign against me and my family.
Right.
It was created after they got kicked off of Reddit by my efforts. It was created after they had already been kicked off of other servers and other web hosts in both Iceland and Russia, because those hosts would not allow them to dox people, because doxing is illegal in both the Russian Federation and the EU, where it is not illegal in the US yet. So they had to move four times, and now they've moved again. ONA Forums on that just actually redirects, and they're all doing all their stuff on, what is it, new.onaforums.com. Net or .com, I don't remember. I have to look it up. But anyway, you know, so they keep moving, as you know, every legitimate website and every legitimate web host in the world stops putting up with their bullshit, because their bullshit is not only dangerous, it's in most cases blatantly illegal.
Yeah.
So this is a website created by a cyber stalker specifically to continue the harassment, the illegal harassment campaign of one person. And yet the counter side lawyers are arguing that they deserve 270 protections, and that their privacy and that their anonymity should be protected from me trying to figure out who they are so they can be deposed, so that we can figure out who the other members who have been committing all these crimes are.
Mm-hmm. Now, as
which
I
is insane.
I'm sorry.
It's like, what about, which is insane. Like, you know, you're telling me the person who is responsible for all of this, their privacy is more important than the privacy of mine and my friends and my family and my colleagues that they have been violating every single day for 1,000 days. It's insanity.
Yeah.
But they're being allowed to argue that in court.
Mm-hmm.
It's insanity.
Yeah. And as I understand, they started harassing your lawyer as well, or you have several lawyers. Is that correct? And
I have several, and they have harassed every one of them.
And in what way have they harassed them? Has it been sort of the same thing, you know, ordering food to their house and leaving negative reviews on their, I guess, whatever the lawyer equivalent of, you know, whatever review site they're on?
It's all of the above. And I would not, I would respect the privacy of my various lawyers before sharing any of those details, but it is that, and it is much more.
Yeah, we're not going to publish any information about your lawyers, so just so you know that. What sort of financial toll has this legal battle taken on you? As I understand, you filed this in January, if I'm not mistaken, and they're making it very difficult because, as you said, there's a lot of legal grounds to respect their privacy, even though they've completely disrespected yours. How would you say?
We're currently fighting them in both Wisconsin and California because of the nature of the subpoenas that we've had to send.
Yeah.
And in, I, this is not information that I would want published. I would like this to be off the record. But okay. As of right now, we're closing in on $100,000 worth of legal expenses. And that's not including the fact that the person that we're trying to identify, Quasi 101, the person who administers and owns the website, he's incurred over $17,000 worth of legal bills in order to maintain his, in order to maintain his anonymity.
Right.
Even after we offered to keep him anonymous, if he would just give us identifying information for the people who we really want, he refused that, and he spent, he spent 17 grand on it. But the reason he's done so is because in California, if you bring a civil suit and or subpoena and it gets quashed, then you automatically owe the legal fees for the opposing counsel.
Right.
So there's a very real possibility that if, you know, this last set of judges here can't pull their heads out of their asses and see just how big of a problem this is, if they make a decision against us, that we'll owe another 17 grand to the person who has been terrorizing us every day for 3 fucking years. It's the most insanely broken thing I've ever heard of. And like, I mean, I'm a boring straight white male whose run-ins with the law have been limited mostly to speeding tickets and parking tickets. So I've
right.
never really experienced the judicial system, other than a particularly unwanted divorce about 10 years ago. But you know, that was a civil matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so the experience that this last, you know, in fact, actually the lawsuit was originally begun back in October of last year. And it just took until January for them to collect all the evidence that they needed and get all the papers signed and get everything actually submitted and filed.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we've been going on with this for months and months and months, and it just keeps getting more and more expensive. And now it looks like, you know, I mean, I haven't given up hope, but it, you know, it looks like there's a very good chance that not only are we not going to get the information that we need in order to identify and you know, and prosecute these people and get the injunctive relief that we need to legally order them to stop fucking doing this,
mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to pay him for the privilege of him running a website dedicated to trying to drive me to kill myself.
So there's a chance that the courts are going to take their side and make you pay them, is what you're saying?
Yes. A very real possibility.
That's unbelievable.
Yes, it is. Certainly not something we thought was even a possibility when we began this.
Wow. Wow.
And it's all because we have a judge who's a judge pro tem in this case, who literally said he had to go talk after reading through the depositions and everything, or not the depositions, the motions. But he went and talked to his adult son about, you know, what does this all mean? And he's like, oh, that's just internet trolling. So you got a judge who doesn't know fucking dick about the internet, doesn't understand the situation at all, doesn't understand the severity of it, thinking it's just harmless trolling like everybody goes through, when in fact what it actually is, it's fucking cyber terrorism.
So it appears that the people who call the shots and make the decisions don't really understand the issues at hand, is what you're saying.
In this case, not in the least. He is not the final judge to oversee this. That final judge, it's a different one, doesn't actually hear the case until later this month, and we're hoping that they will, that person, whomever it may be, will be a little bit more hip to what's going on and maybe they actually read the goddamn filings.
Right. You said that he had to ask his son. That's
yeah.
correct?
Yeah.
How he told you that, or was this during the hearing? I'm sorry?
Yeah, he said it right out in the public hearing. Yeah.
Well, that seems like grounds for appeal if
yeah, it really does, doesn't it?
You know, if the judge,
does.
Yeah. if the judge says
But
I don't understand the issue, I had to ask my son. So I wouldn't give
yeah, so
up.
is your son an expert on internet culture? No? Okay, well then,
Well, even if
how
he
is he doing?
is, and it's not up to the judge, or it's not up to the son, it's up to the judge, but I don't know.
But then the question there becomes, do we want to appeal? Yes. Could we realistically win an appeal? Yes, we believe so. How many tens of thousands of more dollars are we going to have to
Exactly.
spend on that appeal? How many more months of this are we going to have to go on? And how many more thousands or tens of thousands of dollars is the other guy going to be willing to spend on the appeal process when he knows that if he wins, he ends up getting all that money back?
Well, did you expect him to? You said he spent over how much? I think you said like $17,000.
He is currently $17,000 in as in the hole, according to his most recent legal filing.
Did you expect any of these people to just have that money on them? I figure most of these people are not exactly cream of the crop people in terms of their careers. I don't mean to insult people who don't have tons of money, but
Oh no, people with who are successful people do not behave this way. I am fairly certain that this guy has maxed out a lot of credit cards, or taken out some loans, or borrowed money from family, or something. I don't. Most people don't just have $17,000 lying around for a rainy day in case they want to fight a subpoena. It's just not something that happens.
Especially, somebody who's engaging in this kind of scumbag
I'm having a
behavior.
little bit of difficulty hearing you. If
I'm
you could
sorry.
maybe read.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just saying,
No, it's fine.
I was just saying, you well, actually, I guess this is a good question for you. How if you have like a sort of image in your mind of, the demographic of these people in terms of what they're like and in real life, if you were to dox any of them, how do you expect how do you think they would be described?
Well, we're talking about fans of a shock jock radio show that has been off the air now for 8 or 9 years. So, I don't believe these are necessarily bored teenagers, down in their parents' basement. I mean, these are probably people in their late 20s to mid 40s, all men, like exclusively men, almost, overwhelmingly white. They're white supremacists. They're disaffected. They're dissatisfied. They feel they don't have any. They don't feel that they have any power or community. So they made their own. And for a while there, they were the most hated and feared subreddit on the fifth largest website in the world. And they loved that power. And one of the reasons they hate me so much is that I took that away from them after they spent, an entire year trying to fuck up my life,
You got them
because
banned,
it
is what
was.
you're saying?
Yeah, I got the original R-O-B-N Anthony subreddit, as well as dozens of others that popped up, just trying to replace it, banned
Right.
from permanently banned from Reddit. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just it really blows my mind that this person just has $17,000 lying around. I mean, did you expect that? Did your lawyers expect that? I figure most of these people probably work dead-end jobs. They're not exactly, really successful people. I mean, $17,000 is a lot of money. How do you?
Yeah,
Well, I guess you.
it's a ton of 17 grand is a ton of money for anyone but, independently wealthy people. You don't just have that lying around usually. Not without dipping into your 401ks or other retirement savings. If you're lucky enough to have that, which is why I think it's very possible that, he found a lawyer, and then that lawyer told him, "Hey, this is a nonsense lawsuit. This is a nuisance lawsuit, and we can whatever money you spend, we can take it from him." And so he was willing to put, I'm pretty sure he's gone enormously into debt over this. I, of course,
Right.
have no way of knowing that for certain, but I'm pretty sure that he's put most of this on credit cards or taken out loans or borrowed money from someone in order to maintain this, with the promise to, you know, either himself mentally or promise to family or friends or whatever that, hey, in a couple of months, I'm going to get this all back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't think of any other possible explanation either. Yeah, that's really a shame.
The other possibility is they're getting bankrolled by somebody. You know, like,
who do you
think? That's not outside the realm of possibility.
Who do you think they would be getting bankrolled by?
There are a number of alt-right websites out there. There's a number of alt-right provocateurs out there who would be happy to see this sort of thing happening. There's, you know, a hardcore First Amendment at all costs sort of work out there that maybe they could potentially be tapping into. I don't know. I don't have specifics. I certainly don't have fingers to point. And
yeah.
I believe that is the least likely scenario, but it is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to shift gears a little bit. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I do remember reading that you said something about how you were in contact with certain higher-ups, certain influential people who might be influencing certain congressmen or congresswomen to maybe end or limit Section 230 in order to prevent this from happening. Has there been any movement on that? Can you sort of tell us if you've been talking to anybody?
I have been in contact with people, a couple of them out in California who have some experience with this, who have been around the block on this and are in contact with, you know, not only their local legislators, but also some national level ones as well. And, actually, President Biden, as part of his campaign, had and part of his platform for president, had put out a very strong statement saying that, you know, our Justice Department and our administration will be looking at ways to prosecute, you know, cyber stalking, cyber terrorism, mm-hmm. and these sorts of crimes. They've obviously been focused on some other things since January 6th. So, you know, I mean, I probably don't rise to the level of importance as getting rid of, or as prosecuting the insurrectionists. But I would like to think that at some point we might be able to have a conversation with someone, you know, whether it be my local congresspeople or Senator Baldwin, for example. I think it's still a possibility.
I'm sorry, Senator Baldwin is your Congress, is your senator or representative or who is that?
Tammy Baldwin is my senator. My other senator is Ron Johnson, so he's less useful than tits on a floor.
Okay. All right. Okay. I appreciate all the answers to these questions. I just have one more for you, Patrick, and it is... If you could go all the way back to 2018 when this all started happening, when you first got on these people's radar, what would you do differently in dealing with them?
Not a single thing. Not one tweet, not one text, nothing. I would continue to go after them with everything I've got for as long as I can until they are done and until some of them are in prison, and I will not rest. I have done nothing wrong. They picked me randomly.
You said they picked... Hello?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, sorry. Sorry, that might be my connection. You said you do absolutely nothing wrong, and, you know, they picked you...
I said I would do, going back to this, I would do nothing different whatsoever.
Wow.
I have done nothing wrong at any point. They picked me randomly as a target, just as they've done to, you know, a dozen other people before they ever found me, thinking I was just going to be another, you know, easy punching bag for a little while, and they were fucking wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that's all the questions I have for you, Patrick, and I definitely appreciate the time and answering all my questions. Before I don't have, yeah, that's all the questions I have. We'll obviously show you the piece before it goes public. We'll let you comment on it, and there were definitely some things you told me that you don't want to be publicized, and we're definitely going to respect that. And
Yeah, the less said about the lawsuit until it's resolved, the better. Especially as far as the figures involved. I guess I wouldn't be so worried about letting people know how much he's been willing to spend on keeping his identity secret, and the fact that there's a chance that the courts may side with him and say, yeah, this guy who runs this cyber stalking website, you owe him the equivalent of a small car. So,
Well, this article is probably still more than a month out, so it's not unrealistic to think that the lawsuit will be either concluded or I think the lawsuit will probably be concluded by the time this article comes out. So, and we're definitely going to keep the figures that you mentioned completely silent. We're not gonna make any mention of that. But I appreciate the insight, Patrick, and I appreciate you taking the time. So
if I may ask, how did this all come up on your radar, HuffPo, in the first place?
it was actually just a few days ago, or maybe I should say about a week ago. We were going over the we were going after the suicide of the emulator guy Nier, and
Yeah.
we were sort of looking into the services that the owner of Kiwi Farms, Joshua Moon, I'm sure you're aware of him, and I guess one of the services he sells to monetize what he does is he offers web hosting to sites like ONA forums, and so I think one of the people on our team sort of went down the rabbit hole, and it was worth making a story out of. But this article is still in its very beginning stages, so.
How long would you expect it to be? I've published pieces for like New York Times and The Hill before, so I have some idea how this process goes.
How long, in terms of how long before it's out, or how long will the article be?
No, like word count, like how long of a story would you expect it to be?
I couldn't tell you that. It honestly depends on how interested my superiors are with it. We're gonna have a meeting after I get off with you, probably tomorrow morning. So I'll have to get back to you on that, but we'll definitely keep in touch. I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
No, I'm good. Just, keep me in the loop as far as where you are in the
Absolutely.
process. I would appreciate it. All
Absolutely,
right.
and we'll definitely keep in touch. And Patrick, I hope you have a great rest of your evening.
Right, thank you for your time today.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
All right, bye.